Thank you for tuning in to the Greater Rhode Island Baptist Temple podcast. My name is Carlos Navarrete, and I'm the lead pastor. Our goal is to magnify God through His Word, and we pray that you'll be drawn closer to Jesus through this message. If this message is a help to you, we would greatly appreciate it if you could leave a review and subscribe. And most importantly, please share with friends through social media to help us spread God's Word. Now, here's today's message.
Well, good morning, church. Good to be here. Glad we could be here with you. I guess I would say thank you to Pastor Navarrete, but he probably wouldn't hear me. But maybe he's watching online and he'll catch up with us later. I don't know. It is a joy for my wife and I to be here again. As Pastor said, it's kind of odd because when we travel and we're in churches, it's because there's a missions conference or a missions meeting or something to that effect, and this is not the norm, but we really like it. This has really been enjoyable and been good to see everybody again, and we're with the Spanish church this morning earlier, and when we met for prayer back here before church, some of the men were mentioning that I guess in this service there would not be a need for an interpreter. And I said, well, I don't know. I said, I speak redneck. I'm not sure if there's enough here. And they said, no, there's enough here. Everybody will be able to understand you. So whatever that means, y'all take that for what it's worth, okay? But it is just a privilege to be one of your missionaries, as Pastor mentioned. Thank you, church, for your faithful support of us. And a lot of times the question does come up, well, why are we supporting you if you're the president of BIMI, president of BIMI? Surely you get paid a salary. No, we raise our support just like all of our missionaries do. And you are one of those supporters, so thank you for that. Those of you who don't know our testimony, I think probably most of you do because we've been here a few times, but just the Reader's Digest version, both Barb and I were saved as children. God called me to missions when I was 10, and as Pastor mentioned, Lord took us to the field of Alaska. We spent 10 years there, first in Juneau and then in Talkeetna. Thought we'd be in Alaska the rest of our lives, but coming up on 21 years, or we're at the 21-year mark now, 21 years ago we moved from Alaska to Tennessee. Just right close there to BIMI, and I became the Far North Director, did that for 7 years, and now coming up on 14 years, I've served as the President General Director for BIMI. So thank you for having a part in that, and we trust and pray that there will continue to be much fruit that will abound to your account as we travel, as we preach, and we challenge people, particularly in the area of missions. Now, I know that, you know, I can preach anything I want, I guess, as long as it's out of this book, but, you know, missions is just part of me, so you're going to hear missions today, at least somewhat, okay? So take your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter number 14, Matthew chapter number 14, and I want to look at a familiar passage of Scripture beginning in verse 22, and in just a moment I'll read from verse 22 down through verse 33, so if you would, take your Bibles, Matthew chapter number 14, and I'm going to begin reading now in verse number 22. The Bible says, and straightway, and by the way, just make mention here, that is just following the feeding of the 5,000. So kind of just put that in your mind because that was an amazing miracle, and now the disciples are just coming from that miracle, and the Bible says, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit!" And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage of scripture, and thank you for the things that we learn from it. And Lord, as you've laid this message on my heart this morning, I ask now that I would be completely empty of myself so that I can be completely filled with your Spirit. Lord, I pray that this would be true of me as the speaker. But Lord, I pray that every listener who knows you as their Savior, that they also would be empty of themselves and filled with your Spirit. So that, Lord, today, the message that is communicated and that is heard, Lord, that it would bring honor and glory to you, that you would do a work in each one of our hearts and lives. Lord, I pray most of all that if there is someone here today that does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. Lord, please have your will and way now, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. From this passage of Scripture, I want to talk this morning about Peter's example of faith. Peter's example of faith. Now, Peter serves as a great example for you and I in a lot of different ways. I do understand that Peter had his faults, and I think you understand that too. By the way, I'm glad that the Bible doesn't just include examples of people who are perfect. I don't know any people that are perfect, by the way. But, you know, we can learn not only from the good, but from the bad as well. But Peter indeed serves for me, and I think for you as well, any who will look at his example as a good man who had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I understand he opened mouth, insert foot. You know, he did that quite often. Sometimes he opened mouth and changed feet, okay? So he had some troubles along the way, and we'll see even a little bit of that today. But when we think about faith this morning, if I were to go around the auditorium and I were to ask each of you, okay, give me a definition of faith, how would you define faith? Probably everybody would come up with maybe just something a little bit different. I think about when I was a kid, there was an acrostic that they used in Sunday school, forsaking all, I trust him. So that kind of always sticks with me. I like that one. But dare I say that as we went around the auditorium, probably we would end up coming back to Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And there's no better description or definition of faith than that. So that's the definition or description of faith. But here is an aspect of faith that I want to emphasize in the message this morning. So I just really want you to think about this. Let it sink in through the message. Here it is. Faith is not believing in spite of evidence, but obeying in spite of consequences. So what we're saying here is faith is not just you and I trying really hard to believe, even though there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of outward evidence. Faith is just simply obeying no matter the consequences. And we'll see that in Peter's life. So three things about Peter's faith. Number one, Peter had a serving faith. Number two, Peter had a special faith. He's the one that got out on the water. But Peter also had a saving faith. So first of all, let's look at Peter's serving faith. In verse 22, Peter did what Jesus told all the disciples to do. Jesus constrained his disciples to get into ship and to go before him unto the other side. Now, this was something the disciples knew how to do. They had done this before many times. They knew the drill. It was common, ordinary, everyday, run-of-the-mill thing, if you will, for them that Jesus was telling them to do. But the point is, Peter obeyed. So for you and I, what's the lesson? Well, here, it's pretty simple. Whatever the Lord says we're to do, we're to obey. And sometimes it's just those, if you will, common, ordinary, everyday, run-of-the-mill things that we've done before, but we need to continue to do, or to do if we have not done them as of yet. So just a couple of things I jotted down here. Number one, I thought about baptism. Perhaps you're here today and there's been a time in your life when you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. I want to encourage you that baptism is the first step of obedience for a Christian. And so if you've never taken that step in your life, let me encourage you to have a serving faith and do what Jesus says to do. Follow the Lord in baptism. Another thing I put down here, church membership and faithful church attendance. God's the one who ordained the local church. And it is so important for you and I to be in God's house. I remember in Alaska, there were a lot of times I'd go out and I'd knock on doors. I'd invite folks to come to church and I'd get this response. Well, preacher, I can worship God in the woods. Okay, you can. I have, and probably many of you have as well. But you see, that misses the whole point. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And can I just emphasize, the day is approaching. And being in God's house is more than walking in the back door and saying, okay, bless me if you can. No, it's coming in the back door saying, God, give me what I need, and God, help me to be a blessing and encouragement to others as we interact together within the local church. So how important it is for you and I to be in God's house. Here's another one I jotted down. Tithing. Uh-oh. Money. Here we go again. Hey, listen, this is just one of those basic commands of Scripture. The tithe is the Lord's. If it's something that you do not currently do as a child of God, let me encourage you. 10% belongs to the Lord. You say, well, I don't know how all that would work. Faith. Faith is just simply obeying and letting God take care of the consequences. And one more that I've put down here that I got to say, the Great Commission. Every single one of us who knows Christ as our personal Savior, we have been commanded to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. How do we do that? Well, we do what we can in our Jerusalem to be witnesses here, but then also we support missionaries who go in our place to places in the world that we'll probably never get to on this side of eternity, who take the message of the gospel on our behalf. So we just must simply do whatever Jesus told his disciples to do, to follow the example of Peter in that. Now, while all of this is going on, verse 23, the Bible says Jesus went up into a mountain apart to pray. And the Bible tells us that evening came and he was there alone. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but here's a question. Think about it. What did Jesus pray about? What did his prayer list look like? I don't know if he had a physical prayer list or if he just remembered it all. I can imagine his prayer. I would have loved to have just been there to pray with him, just to hear him pray. And I'm not sure what all he prayed about on this occasion, but I'm very confident that one of the things he prayed about was the disciples. Why? Because he knew that storm was going to come long before he ever told them to get in the boat and to go to the other side. So I believe he is there praying, and he's praying for those disciples. Let me encourage you with this morning. Jesus is praying for you and I. So we know him as our personal Savior. He is at the right hand of God. He is interceding for us. Romans chapter 8 says this, beginning in verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Wow. Paul goes on, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, or I guess in the context here we could add, or storm? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, Paul says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And Paul's not done yet. He says, hey, verse 38, he says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, and we can add here, nor storm, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful thought. I'm glad that when God says to you and I, hey, get in the boat, go to the other side, he doesn't say, you're on your own now. He says, get in the boat, go to the other side, and I am praying for you as you go. And there's nothing that will separate you from my love. Now, a couple of thoughts here. Do you realize that these disciples, as they're in that boat, are right in the very center of God's will? They're doing exactly what God said to do. By the way, you also understand there are some health and wealth, prosperity gospel preachers of today who will say that as long as you're doing God's will, everything will be wonderful. It's not what my Bible says. My Bible says that even in the very center of God's will, storms will come. But I'm glad that as they come, Jesus is praying for me. But even one better, think about this. The very thing that the disciples feared, that storm, that's what brought Jesus close to them, walking on the water. And I don't know about you, but for me, When I'm in a storm, God has my attention. You know, when the water's calm and the sun's out and it's great, you know, I'm just kind of on my own. I'm kind of doing my own thing. But when the storm comes, God gets my attention. And by the way, God knows how to get our attention. And you know what? He can do something in my heart and life during the storm that I'm afraid he can't always do when the water is calm. So when we think about the storm, God uses storms for our good and for his glory. And I'm glad for that. And in the midst of those storms, we might say, God, what are you doing? I don't understand. Hey, that's where it comes back to faith. And can I remind you again this morning? Faith is not believing in spite of evidence. It's simply obeying in spite of the consequences. Following Peter's example, having that serving faith. But number two, Peter had a special faith. I love this part of the story. Verse 24, the Bible says, but the ship was now, and it was in the midst of the sea. It was tossed with waves. The wind was contrary. So the idea here is this wasn't just some little storm. This was a big storm. This was a major deal that they were going through. And the Bible says that it was in the fourth watch of the night, verse 25, which, by the way, is somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m. So try and, you know, put yourself in the disciples' place here. I don't know about you, but 3, 4, 5, 6 in the morning, I'm not all that coherent, okay? So there is a strange time of the night for this. They're in the midst of this storm. And then verse 25, the Bible says, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. That's an unusual thing. In the midst of all that's going on, the disciples saw him walking on the sea, verse 26. They were troubled and they cried out and says, it's a spirit. Now, don't be too hard on the disciples, okay? Because we're sitting here in a nice auditorium. You know, it's even air conditioned and it's very comfortable and comfortable seats. They're sitting in a boat. There's a storm going on. Now they see Jesus walking on the water. I can kind of identify with what they're going through just a little bit. An experience I had while I was in Alaska, there was a man there who owned a boat. And by the way, that's the best way to do it. Don't own the boat yourself. Just have a friend who owns a boat, okay? So this friend who owned a boat said to me, would you like to go fishing? And I said, man, I'd love to go fishing. That'd be great. So we got in the boat and his son came with us. I don't know, he was 8, 9 years old, something like that. And we got in the boat. We went to a place called Icy Strait. And it was a beautiful day. We were having fun fishing, all that. But all of a sudden, a storm came up. And I've never seen a storm come up that fast or like this before. And finally, we got to the point where we've got to get back. And he looked at me and says, Brother Snare, we've got to get back to shore now. I said, let's do it. So he told his son, there was a part of the bottom of the boat where you could just take a couple steps down, shut the door, and you place where you could sleep. He said to his son, son, you go down, get in the bottom of the boat, shut the door, and don't come out. And I'm getting really nervous at this point, you know, with those kind of instructions. And there was a bar that was mounted to the one part of the boat. And he said, Brother Snyder, hold on to that bar. He said, bend your knees. He said, get ready. And I'm really nervous. So we take off. Well, he is just flying as fast as he can with everything that's going on. We come over that first swell, and boy, that boat comes down this side and smacks on the water and comes over the next one. The boat just smacks on the water again, and we're just one after the other after the other. Well, about halfway back, his son comes out from the bottom part of the boat, and he's crying. He says, Daddy, Daddy, he says, we're going to die. We're going to die. I believed him. I thought he was right. So listen, I can understand what the disciples were going through. I get the fear that was in their hearts at this time. But now, watch, in the midst of all this, verse 27, the Bible says, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying what? Be of good cheer. What? In the midst of a storm, be of good cheer? You mean, Brother Snyder, what you're saying to me is that even in the storms of life, we can have a good attitude? We can be of good cheer even when things look horrible. Jesus said, be of good cheer. Why be of good cheer? He said, because it is I. That's what makes all the difference in the world. The one who just prayed for them. The one from whose love they could never be separated. By the way, the one who knew the storm would come long before it ever came. No wonder he says, be of good cheer, it is I, and then says, be not afraid. Now, here's where we come into Peter. He's the first one to speak out. That's normal for Peter. And verse 28, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. There's a couple of things I like here. Number one, he says, Lord, if it be thou, he was making sure that it was indeed the Lord. By the way, if we're going to step out for the Lord and do something for him, make sure it's the Lord who's guiding us. Amen. Sometimes there are some people that I have known that have stepped out by emotion or by peer pressure or for some other reason, but make sure it's the Lord who is doing the calling. But then he says this, bid me to come unto thee on the water. He's asking to serve the Lord in a special way, a way that's beyond him. Ask the Lord, Lord, would you let me serve you in some special capacity? I don't know what that would be. Maybe it's a Sunday school class. Maybe it's picking up somebody and bringing them to church. Watch this. Maybe God might be calling you to be a full-time missionary. Are you willing to do whatever it is he wants you to? Are you willing to ask, Lord, would you let me do something special for you? So he prayed that prayer, and then verse 29, the Bible says Jesus' response was this, come. Now, I don't know for sure how Jesus said that, but in my mind, I kind of picture it just a very calm, come. Yes, Peter, come. And of course, you know the story here. And when Peter was come down, verse 29, out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, because you know this story, some of you are a little ahead of me, okay? And you're saying, now, Brother Snyder, he sinks. Okay, I know. I've read it too. But just bring it back a little bit for me, okay? And we'll get to that in a minute. I'm not going to skip it, but come back to this and just dwell on this thought with me for a moment. Peter walked on the water. That's amazing. I'm not even going to ask if anybody here has done that because I know better. We haven't done that. Peter's doing something that is beyond himself. Now, what do you do when you walk on the water? I mean, what do you think about? What goes through your mind? I don't know. I've never done it. But I'm thinking about Peter, and I'm thinking, okay, what's going through his mind? And I can tell you with all assurance this morning, Peter is not thinking this. Well, look at me. I'm a real water walker. I've got a lot of talent in this area. I may need to capitalize on this somehow, and I'm really good at this. Listen, Peter is not anywhere close to that in his thoughts. I believe what Peter's thinking is, wow, Lord, what are you doing? I've never done it. This is a miracle, Lord. I can't do this. Lord, this is something that you're doing. And as he keeps his eyes on Jesus, he continues to experience that miracle that Jesus is doing through him. Now, as all of this is going on, again, I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but there's a bunch of disciples back in the boat. Have you ever thought about those guys? You know, I have a feeling that there's a few of them that are back there in the boat saying, oh, Peter, there he goes again. He's always getting himself into trouble. He must be an independent Baptist. Just something about him that, you know, fanatic, you know. And some of the other ones, I don't know, how about like Simon the Zealot? You don't remember him? Well, I kind of hear him saying, Peter, go for it, man. Fight the waves. You can beat those waves. You can do this. I thought about Judas. Remember, he was the one that carried the bag. He took care of the money. I kind of hear Judas saying, you know what? Since Peter's going to drown anyways, I'll just take his share of the money and I'll move it over to my little column here into my bag and nobody will ever know it'll be okay. Or how about Thomas? Can you hear Thomas? I doubt that he's going to make it. I doubt that he's going to make it. You know, I don't know. I think the reactions were mixed. But I'm confident that there were probably some disciples in that boat that said, why didn't we ask? You know, I could have asked to go along with Peter. I could have asked, Lord, is it okay if I come too? And I could be out there walking on the water with Peter, but I didn't ask. So as we look at this story and we make the application to ourselves this morning, here's the question I want you to ask. Where am I in this story, spiritually speaking? I'm sad to tell you that there's a lot of Christians today that they're still back on the shore. They've really not gotten, if you will, on board with the Lord Jesus Christ. They've never really gotten in the boat. They kind of name his name, but you know, when it comes to having that serving faith, obeying him and doing the things that we're supposed to do as Christians. They've just never really gotten on the boat. If that's you this morning, can I encourage you? Get on board with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know Him as your personal Savior, hey, it's our reasonable service just to give our lives to Him a living sacrifice. But I'm going to make the assumption that probably the majority, if not most, almost everybody here today would say, well, Brother Snyder, I'm in the boat. I know the Lord is my Savior, and boy, I'm just doing my best to live for Him, and you know, I'm thankful for what the Lord's doing in my life. Praise the Lord for that. But here's my challenge. Are you willing to ask the Lord, Lord, would you let me come to you? You see, what do you mean? Lord, would you let me serve you in a way that's beyond me? You say, I don't know, Brother Snyder. You know, you talked about some of those things. I you know, Sunday school class, that would scare me to death. And boy, if I, you know, talk to somebody about picking them up for Sunday school or church or, you know, growth groups or, you know, whatever it would be. And I just, you know, listen, by the way, if you offer to take them by and get a donut on the way to church, it does help, okay? But, you know, sometimes we think, how could I do that? Hey, listen, I talk to a lot of people, especially young people, about missions. And sometimes the response is, now, Brother Snyder, there is just no way I could ever be a missionary. If I had to be a missionary, that means I'd probably have to do like Bible college. And if I had to do Bible college, I got to study this, I got to do that. And boy, if God calls me to go to a particular field of the world, that means I got to learn that language. It means I got to learn that culture. It means I got to eat really weird food. You know, how can I do all of those things? And my response is, hey, look at Peter. It's not about what we can do, because without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. But it's about us stepping up to the plate, stepping out of the boat, doing that which God is calling us to do and saying, God, I can't do this, but I'm trusting you to do it through me. Are we willing to get out of the boat? Have that, if you will, special faith. Now, you might say, Brother Snyder, I get all that. I hear what you're saying, but, you know, I am only human and I'm afraid I would fail. Well, remember when I told you to just bring it back a little bit? Okay, it's time to go now to Peter fails. He sinks. What's he do? You know the story. He takes his eyes off of Jesus. Boy, the wind was boisterous and the waves. And I, you know, quite honestly, if I were in his shoes, I'm afraid I'd probably be like him. I just picture the water slapping him in the face because it's just splashing there. I don't know if I'm right on that picture or not, but I think Satan did everything he could to take his eyes off of Jesus. And by the way, Satan's still doing that today. But, you know, I love this part. The Bible says there in verse number 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, watch, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. I like the word beginning to sink. You see, I'm just stubborn enough. I would probably wait till the water got right about here before I called out for help, you know. But not Peter. Immediately he called out for help. And don't you love the response of the Lord? Verse 31, the Bible says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. I'm glad that the story doesn't go something like this. Peter reaches out and immediately says, Lord, help me. And Jesus crosses his arms, looks down at Peter and says, it serves you right. If you just would have kept your eyes on me, it would all been okay. No, I am so glad. The scripture says Jesus immediately stretched forth his hand and caught him. You know, Jesus is never more than one call away from us. And as we step out for the Lord, yeah, there's going to be times where we have tribulations and trials and testings, and yes, we're going to fail. But when those times come, immediately we call out to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. And He is there with a stretched out hand to meet our needs. You say, oh, Brother Snyder, that just kind of sounds overwhelming. Well, let me remind you, it comes back to faith. Faith. And faith is not just believing in spite of evidence. It's simply obeying in spite of the consequences. Amen. Now, Peter had a serving faith. He had a special faith, but maybe the most important, Peter had a saving faith. Take your Bibles there and turn with me to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6, and as you turn there, I'll remind you that the context of John 6 is the same as the context of Matthew chapter number 14. In John 6, towards the beginning of the chapter, we have the feeding of the 5,000. Then after that, Jesus walks on the water, and then after that, Jesus takes the opportunity. He's preaching a message about the fact that he is the bread of life. Now, as he preaches that message, look with me there, beginning in verse number 66. John chapter 6, beginning in verse number 66, the Bible says this: "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter hits the nail on the head. You know, it's interesting to me, there are times, as we mentioned, that Peter speaks out and he, you know, doesn't say the right thing, but Peter got it right. Jesus asked the question in verse 67, "Will ye also go away?" Many of the disciples had done that in verse 66, as we read, and Judas Iscariot, verses 70 and 71, he would do that soon. But Peter gives this answer. He says, "Lord," verse 68, "to whom shall we go? Lord, who else are we going to go to? There's nobody else for us to go to. You have the words of eternal life." And he says, verse 69, he says, "We believe, we are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I want to just, if you will, reemphasize what Peter said. Jesus is the only way of salvation. There is no other way for you and I to get to heaven apart from Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You know, I talk to a lot of people about salvation, and I ask them, you know, for a testimony, or ask them if they know Christ as their Savior. I ask them if they have they ever been born again. I ask them, hey, if you were to die today, you know you'd be on your way to heaven. And I get all kinds of responses to that question. And a lot of times I'll get this response: "Well, listen, yeah, I'm a Christian." And I'll say, "What does it mean to be a Christian?" They'll say, "Well, I'm a good person." The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Maybe you're here this morning and you've just maybe assumed that, hey, being a Christian means being a good person. No. Being a Christian is more than just being a good person. I talk to people and ask that question of them, and sometimes I'll get this response: "Well, hey, I'm a Catholic." I get that one a lot. Or I get this one: "Hey, well, I'm Lutheran." Or, "I'm Presbyterian." Or I get some really crazy people: "Well, I'm an Independent Baptist." Listen. Salvation has nothing to do with a religion, but has everything to do with a relationship to Jesus Christ. And so my question to you today is not, are you a good person? It's not, are you a Catholic, a Presbyterian, a Lutheran, or a Baptist? I'm not even asking, are you a member of Greater Rhode Island Baptist Temple? I'm asking, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We're not saved through good works or through a church or through baptism or through any of these other things. We're only saved through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Well, dear friend, He offers the gift of salvation to one and all. But my question to you today is, has there ever been a time when you've received Christ, when you've received that gift of salvation that He offers to you? The Bible says He wants you to come to Him. You know, He said to Peter, "Come." Do you realize that if you're here today without Him, He's saying to you, "Come." The Bible says in the book of Matthew, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Amen. you will find rest in Jesus that you'll find not in good works or church membership or baptism or any of these other things. Well, dear friend, if there's never been a time in your life when you've come to Jesus, I want to encourage you, make today your day of salvation. In just a few moments, we'll have a time of invitation where we're going to invite you to come to Jesus. Until we get there, just hit that pause button for a moment. One more thing that I want to emphasize here. For those of us who know Christ as our Savior, and we would say amen along with what Peter said here, there's a lesson for us. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We've experienced salvation and how it's changed our lives. Now it's our responsibility to do what Peter did. Peter here is really making his public profession of faith in Jesus Christ. For the whole world to read about it, even today, who are reading about it and we're talking about it. For you and I who know Christ as our Savior, oh, how important it is that we not only have that saving faith, but that we proclaim that saving faith to a lost and dying world. You know, I'll tell you, when I look at what's going on in our world today, it just amazes me. When I look at what's happening in our country today, it amazes me even more. We're living in a dark world. But the darker the night, the brighter the light. And we need to shine brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be light and be salt in this old world. Well, dear friend, it is our responsibility to tell the lost, to tell the world about how Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So, Peter, he had a serving faith. He simply did what Jesus told him to do. Do we have that kind of faith, a serving faith, where we're not going to be focused on seeing enough evidence first, but we're just going to simply obey and do what's right? Amen. Peter had a special faith. He stepped out of the boat when Jesus said, "Come." I see no sign of hesitation in Peter. He was right out there. He was gone. By the way, I just be honest with you here. I think I probably would have hesitated a little bit getting out of that boat. And for those of you who are really spiritual here today, I think you probably would have too, okay? You know, I lived in Alaska. I was going to tell you about this earlier. I lived in Alaska. And having lived in Alaska, I probably would have come up to that edge of that boat and I probably would have put my toe down there and checked out the water first. Because I'd want to be checking a few things. Number one, is it going to hold me? Because I've never done this before. But I'd also want to know, is it cold? Because if I go down, how cold is it going to be? And it's interesting in Alaska. One time, I had a fella who I was preaching through scripture and he got under conviction because he had been saved, but he had never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. He had been sprinkled as a baby in the Catholic church, but he understood now that he's saved, he needs to follow through and be baptized. And he said, "Preacher, will you baptize me?" And after we talked it through, I said, "Yeah, I'll baptize you." He says, "Can we do it now?" He said, "I want to do it in the creek behind my house." Well, this was like January or February in Alaska. And I said, "Sure, how can we do it? Because it's frozen." He says, "If I get a hole in the ice, will you baptize me?" I don't know why, but I said, "Yes." And my wife began to pray that he would not get through the ice. And he literally went out there with a chainsaw and tried to cut a hole in the ice. And he had a digging iron, he told me. He was beaten on the ice with a digging iron. But you have to understand, it was like 40 below. So the ice was, I mean, it was thick. Praise the Lord. So he didn't get through that day, and I was glad, but as soon as the ice broke off the creek in the back of his house, he came back, "Preacher, can I be baptized now?" I said, "Let's do it." There were three others who wanted to be baptized as well, and it was an experience, let me tell you. We went down over the snowbank and got into the water, and I did. I put a thermometer in the water because I wanted to see what the water temperature was. The water temperature was 35 degrees. Man, it was amazing, invigorating. And I'll tell you, as I baptized them, I took them down under the water. And when I brought them back, all four of them, same expression. Which I understood. I really did. I was afraid one of them was going to have a heart attack. I tell you all that to say this. That's why I would have been checking out, you know, about that. And you and I, don't we use our past experiences to Lord, is this right? Are you sure? Not Peter. I think Peter just jumped right out there and said, Lord, here I come. That's the kind of faith we need to have. But as I said before, the most important faith that Peter had was his saving faith. And that's the most important part of my message this morning. If you know not Jesus Christ as your Savior today, oh, come to Him today. Don't trust in a religion or a good work. Trust in Jesus Christ. And if you do know Him, well, let's get the message out there more than ever before, telling others about how they can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me, heads bowed and eyes closed, as we take some time to meditate, think about the example of Peter. This is that time of invitation that I mentioned just a little while ago, and maybe you're visiting here. I'm not sure who all is visiting and who are regulars. But if you're visiting here and you say, what's an invitation? Here's what we're doing. I've asked everybody to stand. I've asked all heads to be bowed, all eyes to be closed, because I'm trying to make it easy for you to come to Jesus today. My wife's playing the piano. That's our invitation hymn. And here's what I'm going to ask of you. If you're not sure that if you were to die today that you'd be on your way to heaven, would you just come to the front? There's some empty seats right here in the front of the auditorium. And just come and just sit down on this front row. You say, what happens if I do that? Here's what happens. Somebody's going to come alongside of you and take God's word and show you from the Bible how you can be saved today. Would you come? Jesus is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, so many people are laboring, trying to gain salvation through good works. Jesus said, it's all done. Come to me. Oh, dear Christian friend, what about it? You know what an invitation is. Maybe you just need to come this morning and say, Lord, I'm anew and afresh saying to you, I'm ready to lay my life on the altar, a living sacrifice. Lord, I'm ready to get out of the boat. Would you let me get out of the boat? Maybe you just need to take some time and talk with the Lord. As Barb continues to play, would you continue to pray? And in just a moment, we'll close out the invitation with a word of prayer. We are thankful for your word today. We're thankful for the example of Peter. And Lord, as we look to his example, we are encouraged, yes, and we're thankful for that encouragement. But, oh dear Lord, we're also challenged. I'm challenged. Lord, help us today to have the kind of faith that is just an obedient faith. Lord, a faith that just looks to you, keeps her eyes on you no matter what comes our way. A faith that is determined to continue on and to not quit. Lord, I do pray that you do a work in hearts and lives of all those who have been listening to this message today, whether it be in this auditorium or by way of the internet. Lord, if there's somebody that's been listening that they're just not saved, and I'm just sensing that there's someone today that's holding back. I don't know who that person would be, but God, help them to just give up themselves to you. Lord, help them to make that step and to be saved. Lord, again, help us as Christians to be what we need to be. Lord, I pray that as we leave this place today, we would take this example with us and that we live it, not just for today or this week, but even, Lord, for the rest of our lives. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We'd like to thank you for listening to today's message. If you made a decision to trust Christ, we'd love to know that and send you some resources that you can use to continue your new relationship with God. If you'd like prayer, you can call us at 401-231-4796 or email us at prayer@gribt.com. You can connect with us through social media or our website at gribt.com. Have a great day, and may God richly bless you.